Well, open with me in your copy of God's Word to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 9 is where we'll be today. I'm glad to see you here in the house of the Lord this Memorial Day weekend. Just kind of a quick recap of where we're at. We're in the throne room of heaven with the Apostle John. Back in chapter 4 of Revelation, we transitioned the book from the seven churches and those things which John saw in chapter 1, the things that are. We saw where John was in chapter 1, the things that are in chapters 2 to 3, the seven churches, the things which will take place after this is chapter 4 onward. And so we've seen the past, the present, and even the future, or is happening, and the things that are going to take place. John, he's in heaven, and he sees the Almighty on the throne, the Father. He's holding a scroll, and no one is able to open the scroll, to even look at it, but the Son of God, Jesus, the Lamb who had been slain, he took the scroll, and he started to break the seven seals. And then in chapter 8, we saw the seventh seal, that seven angels who stand before God were given seven trumpets. Chapter 8 dealt with the first four trumpet blasts. We saw hail and fire coming to the earth. We saw a third of the trees and vegetation was scorched. And the trumpets are the punishments, judgments by God being poured out onto the earth. And this is a way that God, he is unraveling, he is undoing his creation in order to make it new again. And we've talked about the last 7 years, that these are the last 7 years before Jesus will return from heaven and set up his reign on the earth. And we're in chapter 9, we're in the first half of that 7 years, so the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Last week we talked about judgment upon the waters. The second and the third trumpet had things from heaven falling to earth. A huge burning mountain that was on fire fell into the sea. A third of the sea became blood. A third of the living creatures that were in the sea died. A third of the ships were destroyed. Also, we saw that the fresh water was even struck, and it became bitter. People died. They tried to drink the water. And then finally, the fourth trumpet, we saw that the heavens were struck. A third of the sun, a third of the moon, the stars, even a third of the day was stricken by darkness. And we said that there were a lot of similarities to the plagues of Egypt. God, he has shown us in the past, things that he will do in the future. And we have the things written down for us so that we may know, so that we can see the approaching signs and the seasons that lead up to the day of the Lord. And so that we won't be taken off guard, that we won't be left in darkness, as Paul tells the church in Thessalonians, that this day should not overtake us like a thief or even like labor pains of that of a pregnant woman. But one of the things that I've pointed out is that these judgments on the earth, that they're not total destruction. They're a third. And that even in these judgments, God, he is showing grace. He's allowing people to repent and to turn to him. And some will. It will be one of the greatest soul-winning times in history. But others, no matter what God does, they still won't acknowledge that Jesus is king and that he is ruler over all. And so last week we were left with a cliffhanger, so to speak, a to be continued, but also a warning. At verse 13 of chapter 8, we had an angel or an eagle, depending on your translation, flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because the remaining trumpet blast of the three angels are about to sound." And it's like if you thought that the first four were rough, then You haven't seen nothing yet. Just buckle up. This angel, he's warning us that something worse than the seven seals and the four other trumpet blasts, that the three remaining trumpet blasts, they are going to get progressively more intense and more terrifying, more horrifying, something greater, and that the earth needs to brace itself for. Today we're going to look at the fifth trumpet and as it correlates to the first woe. Woe is a term that means grief, it means anguish, it means affliction. These woes are done again as a final wake-up call, a call for repentance for those that are on the earth. And these are going to be times of great anguish and great trouble. Well, let's read Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. Revelation 9 says, "Then the fifth angel sounded. I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death, and they will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like faces of men. They had hair like women's hair. Their teeth were like lions' teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men for 5 months. They had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word." So the fifth trumpet is going to be demonized locusts. This is going to be our main focus today. Verse 1 says, "The fifth angel sounded. I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit." We're told later in verse 12 that this fifth trumpet is the first woe, and that two more are about to come. But let's talk about the bottomless pit for just a few moments. The bottomless pit in Greek is abyss. In Hebrew, it's taham. In the Old Testament, it's this formless void. If you remember back in Genesis and the before Adam period, before creation, Genesis 1:2 says that the earth was without form and it was void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, or the tahom, the bottomless pit, the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the faces of the waters. If you fast forward in Genesis 7 chapters, you come to Noah, and God's judging the world with a great flood. And we see the fountains of the great deep, the tahom, were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. But this abyss, it is a chaotic place of trouble and calamity, sometimes even referred to as the ocean. I mean, if you just try to imagine for a moment, you try to imagine before scuba gear and everything else, trying to explain something that is bottomless, that's empty. And when we get to the New Testament, we get a more specific and a deeper understanding that this deep, this abyss, this bottomless pit, it refers to the place of the dead, the underworld, a place of confinement for evil spirits. In Luke 8, Jesus, he comes across a possessed naked man who's living in a cemetery, and this man, he's filled with a legion of demons, and they beg Jesus not to cast them, not to send them into the abyss. So they're aware that they are going to be tormented in a place for a specific time. And in fact, in Matthew, they even accuse Jesus of being early. They say, "Have you come to torment us before the time?" And we're going to see in Revelation 20 that the devil and the false prophet, they're going to be tormented forever and ever. But Paul also is going to use this term of the abyss in Romans 10, where he's actually quoting Deuteronomy 30:13, speaking that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes, and not to say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven for us, or who will descend into the abyss? But the word is near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, and this is the word which we preach. And then the famous verse of Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so this concept of the abyss or the bottomless pit, it shouldn't be foreign to us, but this is the first time that we see it in the book of Revelation. We've seen it back in chapter 1 that Jesus, he holds the keys to Hades, to hell, and to death. He holds the key of David. And Jesus is the one that opens doors. And I want to take just a few moments and look at this fallen star in verse 1. He's given the key. Who is this? Some things to point out. Unlike in chapter 8, we saw something like a great mountain, and in verse 10, a great star fall from heaven. Here in chapter 9, verse 1, we're told that this fallen star is a male. The end of verse 1 says, to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. The key is not given to the angel blowing the trumpet, but it's given to this fallen star. And obviously, everyone has an opinion. People have differing interpretations of who this fallen star is. And so some things that we know from Scripture. We know that Satan desired to be like the Most High, and that Satan was cast out of heaven. But we also know that Satan still has some limited access to the presence of God, according to the book of Job. He constantly accuses believers. And in chapter 12 of Revelation, there will be an unsuccessful battle in heaven, and Satan will be permanently cast out. But the identity of this fallen star, we don't know positively who it is. Quite possibly it is Satan. If you have an ESV study Bible, it thinks so. It says, the star fallen from heaven to earth is Satan, whom Jesus saw like fall like lightning. John MacArthur, he also thinks that this is probably Satan. Later, we see that the bottomless pit is the home of the beast that will make war against the two witnesses in Revelation 11. And this will be where Satan is bound for 1,000 years during the millennial reign of Christ. Some commentators, they obviously want to point out that Jesus is the one that holds the keys to death and hell. And they ask the question, well, why would Jesus give the key to Satan? And so thus they try to argue that this is not Satan, but an angel. Whether this is a good angel or a bad angel, you're going to have to make up your own minds. I would tend to lean that this fallen star is probably an angelic being, probably a fallen one, given the key from our Lord to open the pit. And so we see that the key was given to him. And I don't think that we can argue that the fallen star is Jesus. But Jesus does give authority. Jesus holds all the keys. Now, you may have heard of a company, an organization called CERN. This is a European organization for nuclear research near Geneva, Switzerland. They have built this large Hadron Collider, trying to smash subatomic particles together at the speed of light. They use magnets, and they're trying. They say they're trying to examine the building blocks of life. Some say that they're trying to rip apart dimensions and trying to communicate with demons. And I don't want to get caught up in conspiracy theories, but I can tell you that they will not succeed until God says that it's time. Now, can God use CERN and other things like microchips to accomplish his ultimate purpose? You better bet your bottom dollar. God can and he will. Verse 2 says, he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. And so the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke from this pit. We don't know how long this darkening will take place, or if it correlates to the third of the sun being darkened by the fourth trumpet. But when the devil shows up, he often tries to blind people's eyes. The devil wants to extinguish the light. He wants people to follow and worship him and not the true God. Next, we're going to look at the purpose of the opening of the pit and these locusts, verses 3 through 6. Verse 3 says, out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. To them was given power as scorpions of the earth have power. And so again, in Exodus 10, the eighth plague was the plague of locusts. They came, they consumed everything that remained, all the plants and the trees left by the hail. And these locusts, they fill up every house in Egypt. They eat everything. In Exodus 10, 14 through 15, we see that the locusts, they come up over all the land of Egypt, settled in all the territory of Egypt. And they were very numerous, and that there had never been so many locusts, nor would there ever be so many again. For they covered the surface of the whole land, and the land was darkened. And then Pharaoh, he somewhat repents, but then his heart ends up getting hardened by the Lord. And here in Revelation, we see that these locusts, they're given power like scorpions to harm anyone that doesn't have the seal of God on their foreheads. Back in chapter 7, we saw 144,000 from the tribes of Israel sealed with the name of God on their foreheads. We know that God protects his own. Psalm 91 says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty, for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and deadly pestilence. The Most High is referred to over and over again as a refuge, as a strong tower. We have said over and over again that just because that we are Christians, it doesn't mean that we escape troubles. We will have illness. We will have trials. We will even have tribulation. He even allows death to the ones he loves. But here, this judgment is for non-believers. And I hope your windows are up because it's raining quite heavily. If not, talk to our security team. These locusts, they sting like scorpions. They go after people that have not confessed Jesus as Lord. But even as we see, Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good, for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. These locusts, they're not literal locusts, but they are demonic beings that come from the pit of hell. Verse 5 says that they have authority to torment for 5 months, but not authority to kill them. Verse 6, in those days men will seek death, and they will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee them. I want to take just a couple minutes, just a few moments, and talk about suicide. The Bible does not say that suicide is an unforgivable sin. However, the Holy Spirit is the one that gives life. And so I've given you three verses there out of Romans. Romans 8:2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death." Romans 8:6, "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." Romans 8:10 and 11, "If Christ is in you, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit." Now I understand, I truly understand that there may be deep times of depression even in a Christian's life. But killing yourself is not the answer to your problems. Your life is a gift that has been given to you by God. You don't know what your future has in store for you. You might be in a dark period. You may weep all night long. The psalmist says that joy comes in the morning. His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. 988 is a number you can call, you can text for suicide prevention or for help. 988. There's going to be some here in chapter 9 that they're going to seek death, but death is going to elude them. Last week I mentioned that God, He knows everything. He knows the hairs on your very head. He knows your days. They have been ordained before you even took your first breath. And here during the tribulation, for 5 months before the middle way of the halfway of the tribulation period, people, they are going to seek death, but they're not going to be able to find it. We can only surmise that it's because of the sting of these demonic locusts. They torment people, that there's going to be those that get stung. They're going to want to die, and some, they're going to try to die, but God will not let them die. Instead, He's going to supernaturally sustain them for judgment. We do not know when our last breath will be, but God does. God, He is the one who gives life. He is the author of life. He determines our days. He knows when we will take our last breath, because every breath is a gift from Him. So we've seen the purpose of these locusts. Next, John, he's going to give a more detail, more description of these locusts in verses 7 through 10. And verse 7, we're given this further description. "The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns, something like gold. Their faces were like faces of men." These aren't normal locusts. These are demonic forces determined to bring havoc and to do so with effectiveness. And if you think that mosquitoes and yellow jackets are bad, just wait. You haven't seen anything yet. Here, John, he's using the word "like" a lot. He's trying to describe to us what he has seen. And I don't think that John is describing Apache helicopters. Now, I could be wrong. Who knows? Maybe. But I don't think so. This is definitely something that nobody has ever seen yet, because they've been locked up in hell for this specific time in the book of Revelation. They're dressed and they're equipped for battle. In 2 Peter 2 and in Jude verse 6, we see that there are angels, that there's fallen angels that have sinned, that are held in chains in gloomy darkness until the day of judgment. There are things, there are demons, there are fallen angels that are now imprisoned, and things that have been prepared that we don't see. And like these demonic locusts that we just don't know anything about until God reveals it to us, they're not going to be released until a specific time. Verse 8 says that they had hair like women's hair, and that their teeth were like lion's teeth. A woman's hair is her glory, we're told. It represents her modesty. It represents her honor. There's distinctions between men and women. When a woman covered her hair and her head in worship, she would show respect and honor to God and to her husband. If her head was shaved, she was considered one who was disgraced. We see here that these demonic locusts, they have hair, like woman's hair. We can assume that this hair is long. And how often we see that sin is seductive. In Proverbs, we see that wisdom and folly, they're both personified, they're both described as different types of women. Sin can be seductive and cunning and even pleasurable for a season, but even though they may have beautiful hair, we see that their teeth were like lion's teeth. Verse 9 says they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. The sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. And then verse 10, they had tails like scorpions. And there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men for 5 months. So again, we see a limited amount of time that God has ordained. He's ordained a period of time for suffering and judgment and even torment upon the world. We've seen with the first four trumpets that the effects were seemingly aimed to the created order, the waters, the heavens, and so forth. Here at the fifth trumpet, we see that this is really aimed towards non-believers, people that don't have the seal of God on their forehead. Something else that really sets the fifth judgment, the fifth trumpet, separately from the other four, is that the other four, they were poured out on creation. Here, this fifth trumpet we see is infliction that doesn't come from above, but from below. Instead of things falling from the sky, we're going to see people tormented by these demonic locusts that arise out of the bottomless pit. And as we've said, we've also seen a timetable. They're given authority to torment for only 5 months, not to kill, but to torment. And with the other four, well, we don't know how long the waters are going to be bitter, or how long the sea would be churned into blood. But here we're given a specific amount of time, a limited amount of time, 5 months. And if we use the time period of 30-day months, 5 months equals 150 days. It was after 150 days that the ark finally rested on the mountains of Ararat, which included 40 days of days and nights of rain upon the earth. And this is a specific amount of time that these demon locusts are given authority. And plus, locusts, they typically only live for 3 to 5 months in total from the time of the egg is laid to the natural death of an adult locust. So interesting, the actual length of a regular locust is 5 months as well. But again, these are demonic locusts. I think it's interesting. But finally, we're going to look at the king of the locusts, verses 11 through 12. Verse 11 says, they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. In Proverbs 30:27, Solomon says that locusts have no king. He said, the locusts have no king, and yet they advance together in ranks. And so locusts, they just swarm. They have no leader. They eat whatever comes in their path. Kind of like a group of male teenagers. Here we see these, they don't even have to be teenagers yet. But here we see these demonic beings. They have a king over them. And so unlike regular locusts who don't have a king, these do. And Apollyon, it means destroyer. Abaddon in Hebrew, it means ruin or destruction. I don't think this is Satan. I think this is a fallen angel, a minion of Satan, a demon given authority to be king over these demonic locusts. Now, there could be a connection to the Greek god Apollo, the son of Zeus, the god of poetry, the god of healing and music, the twin brother of Artemis. This may be John's way of attacking the Romans, the emperors. Nero himself, he claimed to be Apollo, and Apollo in the Greek religion was connected to grasshoppers and locusts. Domitian as well, he identified himself as Jupiter, the king of the gods. But again, we have what John has been told to write. And so whether this is a little bit of a snub to the Romans, you're going to have to decide. But this is what Jesus told John to write. And I've said it before, and the Bible backs it up, that any religion that does not worship the true God is a false religion and is in fact demonic. Verse 12, one woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. The fifth trumpet is the first woe. The sixth and the seventh will be the last two woes, with the seventh trumpet bringing the final seven bowls of wrath. As we come to a close, be careful about spiritual forces of darkness. There is a protection for those that have the seal of the living God, but that doesn't mean that you should just open yourself up to powers of darkness. Don't dabble with things in the occult. Don't be vulnerable to gateways that can lead to spiritual attacks or oppression or things with increased anxiety. One receives the mark of the living God by the Holy Spirit, by confessing Jesus as Lord, by admitting that you are a sinner and that the only way you can be saved is by the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your account. And so the mark of the Holy Spirit is one that is a permanent one. We've pointed out that Satan's time will be limited. These locusts, they're only allowed to torment for 5 months. Satanic forces have to be submissive to God's ultimate sovereign authority. God tells them that they're not allowed to kill them. Torment, yes, but your life, how long you will live, is determined by God. God, He has determined your days. And Jesus, He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He has everything under control. Here we see that there's going to be terrible things on the earth, but God knows who are His. He's still protecting His own. And He knows. God knows if you are truly His. He's given to each the Holy Spirit that convicts of sins. For those that have repented and turned from sin and trusted in His grace and in His mercy, to those that have the blood of Christ applied to their hearts, there is no torment. There's no sting of these locusts, but only to those who don't have the mark of the living God on their foreheads. You don't have to worry about punishment or torment or judgment as a believer. For those that have been forgiven, they receive mercy and grace. When you believe that Jesus died in your place, that He took the punishment for you, He takes the sting. He took God's punishment that was rightfully yours. There's going to be some that still won't believe. They're not going to escape the wrath of God, the sting of these demonic locusts. There's nothing that's going to be able to be done for them. Nothing is going to bring them comfort. They're going to endure pain for 5 months. Today, we can warn others. Today, we can tell others about Jesus now. While you are living, you can give testimony of the goodness of God. You can tell others about how God saved you. That there's only one way to heaven. That it's through Jesus Christ, not by doing good things, not by being a good person, but only through Jesus, by what he's done on the cross. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, today can be your day of salvation. Trust him today. Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for your word. I thank you that you've given a future foretelling of what will happen and of your return. But before that happens, we know that there is going to be these judgment, where there's going to be these seals, there's going to be these trumpets. Help us not to fear. Help us to trust in you. Lord, your word says that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You offer to be our shepherd, to be our protection. Thank you that you will take care of us. Lord, we give you praise and thanks and glory and honor. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.